We are Gaydio.
Hey, Matt Crabb here, and this is some of the best bits from our trip for Gaydio Escapes to Denver, the Mile High City.
We're at Snooze at Denver Union Station.
Yeah, this place is just insane. It was renovated back in 2014, and it was celebrating its 100th anniversary then. And it's just a gorgeous open space, isn't it? So good. There's hotels here, there's restaurants here, there's cocktails. Pretty much like it's your one-stop shop for anything foodie or anything entertainment-wise.
And if, like me, you like breakfast, then this is what I'm told by the lovely Jenna, who's showing us around, is that this is the place to be for brunch. You know, let's brunch, darling.
Let's brunch, sweetie. Brunch, sweetie, darling. Brunch. I love the fact you was like, Jenna's like, oh my God, please don't talk to me. I've got a mouthful of food at the moment. She's like, no, go away, go away. Breakfast is a massive thing in Denver as well. Jenna was saying that brunch is like one of the hottest things to have. I just had the most amazing burrito. I mean, just full of all of the spices, all of the chili, all of the cheese.
All the salsa.
It was insane. And how was yours? What did you have?
Mine was great. I just had a boring old breakfast, but it was far from boring. It was not boring at all. It was just, I had a typical breakfast. But I tell you what's not boring, in the slightest, is in front of us we have what is oh, I just can't even...
It's like a foodgasm.
Yeah, foodgasm, yeah. I'm having multiple foodgasms right now looking at this.
Oh, hang on. Our waiter's here. Can you just tell us what is in the pancakes, please?
A white chocolate chip pancake with an almond crumble, powdered sugar, it's going to have oats cooked in vanilla cream with white chocolate chips and powdered sugar.
So Jake has just told us everything that's in it. I think you should dive in.
Yeah, you had to fight me off the last 10 minutes.
I was like, don't touch it.
I'm Gaydio's resident foodie, you know?
So Craig is tucking in. He is trying it, going to the mouth. Ugh.
Oh my God.
How is it though?
Yeah, foodgasm sounds right. So good.
Do you need a moment? Do you want some time to yourself? Are you
yes,
okay?
Yes, yes, please. Yeah, thank you.
No, I want to try some. Hey, don't take it all.
We are downtown. I've always wanted to say on the radio with the lovely Jenna. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're behaving, right?
You guys are doing really well. I'm really proud of you.
Are you not just saying that because you're on the radio right now?
No, definitely not.
Excellent. So tell us about it. We've just strutted down the street downtown and we're faced with the Denver Performing Arts Complex, and it looks huge.
This is the second largest performing arts complex in the country. We're really proud of it. It has 7 stages. It brings in beautiful Broadway productions that come from New York City every summer. And then we also have our own production company. It's called the Denver Center for the Performing Arts, and they put on their own productions right here. They create everything in-house, and it's a really impressive place.
So it's fair to say that Denver as a city really embraces the arts.
We really do. We have a amazing arts and culture scene here in Denver, from art museums, visual arts, performing arts, live music. We celebrate the arts and culture scene every November during Denver Arts Week. It's a week-long celebration of the arts where we feature events that really celebrate arts and culture. There's everything from dance to photography to special music performances. There's night at the museums where all of the museums in town are open late and they're free to the public, just really encouraging locals and visitors to get out there and learn more about all of the arts and culture that Denver has to offer.
It's really interesting that you said that some of these activities are free, because we've just got on a free shuttle that gets here. So the city really does subsidize a lot of these activities for the good of the people. Why do you think that is?
That's a really good question. We just really embrace the arts and culture scene here, and we really want to get everyone involved, no matter, you know, the level of their economic ability. And we really believe that if the locals are engaged, then visitors can also engage in the arts and culture scene.
I have one last question, and it is the most important question. Where's our tickets for Hamilton? Because you told us Hamilton is coming for Denver. We can't even get them in London. So where's our tickets?
I wish I could tell you. We're so excited that Hamilton is coming to Denver after New York and Chicago here in the United States. It just shows what a strong performing arts scene we have. And I think those tickets are going to sell out really, really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a bit.
I wish I had better news for you. I'm so sorry.
Gaydio is in Denver with the lovely Jenna from Visit Denver.
And friends that know me will know that I'm a big fan of bears. This is a completely different bear, a bigger bear actually, because I'm guessing that could be, I don't know, 50, 40 foot high.
Yes.
You're no Jenna.
It's 2 stories high, I think 42 feet.
This is a massive blue bear, lots of snow. I'm guessing that if we were inside, he'd be checking up on us because he's looking in there. So.
Exactly. His official name is I See What You Mean, because he's checking out all of the comings and goings of the Colorado Convention Center.
Tell us a bit about the reason why he's there.
Yeah, definitely. This is our public art icon. He's really the public art icon of Denver. Like I said, he's the blue bear to us, but his official name is I See What You Mean. He's part of the public art program in Denver. 1% of every budget for every public building has to go towards public art outside of the building for the public to enjoy. And he's blue, which is a little bit of a surprising color for a bear. It's a funny story how that happened. The artist originally wanted him to be brown or, you know, black, a normal bear color. But when he created a prototype of this sample to show the committee that was deciding on the art piece that would be selected, it came out blue. And he said, this is just the prototype. He won't normally be blue, but then everyone loved it and it stuck.
I love that. And we were just saying, we weren't expecting him to be so big. Is there a reason why he is bigger? I guess because it's an impression that you've got to make, isn't it? You never forget that first impression.
I guess so, yeah. That's just the artist's type, is to create these giant sculptures of animals.
And the artist has done other features and other artworks in and around Denver as well, hasn't he?
Yes, the artist has similar art in China, and then he has another blue bear on a cruise ship. He also has a big red rabbit at the Sacramento airport.
So we've got bears, we've got cruising, we've got rabbits.
What more do you need?
I mean,
honestly,
if you need a reason to come to Denver, that's it, isn't it?
And we've got a bit of ambience there as well with the tram going past.
Oh, it's amazing.
I'm joined by Carl, who is the owner of the Capitol Hill Mansion. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And thank you for the amazing breakfast that we've just had. Insanely good.
Well, great. I'm one that tries to focus on doing breakfast and trying to concentrate and focus on things that people don't do at home. Like you experiencing that souffle this morning is just something. People think of a souffle as something sweet, but this is savory, and it's got those good flavors, and you can just create anything you want with it.
Because us Brits, we don't really do the sweet and savory at breakfast, and I think when I go back to England now, I'm going to be craving to have that bacon.
You're going
to
be missing me.
I really am going to be missing you. Yeah. Do you know what? Can you come back to the UK with me, please?
Yeah, I'm going to write down how I do the bacon, so everybody's going to come over and to your place and have bacon that morning.
So how long have you been at your location now?
I have actually been here in Denver for 17 years. I'm originally from Corpus Christi, Texas.
I can kind of tell with the accent. It's very deep.
Everybody
south.
Gets yeah. that. Yeah, I can do that y'all thing. Oh. Yeah, and everybody's, I know you're not from here.
And been in Denver for 17 years. Why have you stayed?
Oh, I think, you know, one, I grew up in South Texas. Secondly, it is part of the West. Used to be where it had more of that, you know, that cowboy flair and things like that, and it still kind of does. But Denver has become such a destination point and has done so well, and that it's become where it's got that metro feel. It has a lot to offer. It's very vibrant. It's one of the few cities that has been very successful with the pedestrian area. Mm-hmm. It's just been amazing. I mean, there's so much to do.
And you touched upon the cowboy. You run the Gay Rodeo.
Yes.
Because I didn't really know what a rodeo is or was. So for someone who's listening now, it's like, I think I know what a rodeo is.
Yeah.
Just tell us about it.
Well, I mean, you have what we call, it's an International Gay Rodeo Association. So that includes Canada, United States, and Mexico. And we do have some people that come from Australia that compete and do that as well, that follows the circuit. Then you end up with like Colorado. You have the Colorado Gay Rodeo Association. So they do a rodeo once a year. And that's in July, the second weekend of July every year. But yeah, you have bull riding, you have bronc, you have steer ridings. In a regular rodeo, they have what they call mutton busting. But in the gay rodeo, they have what they call goat dressing.
Oh, amazing.
So what they end up doing is, you know, you've got two contestants down here. that run with a pair of underwear in their hand, and they've got to put the men's underwear on the goat and then run back. So it's hilarious. It's hilarious. It's great.
I can imagine it's a kind of a trap for drag queens and all that kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They put on performances. We just got through with finals, International Gay Rodeo finals in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So they had a group that performed, and they're called the Austin Baptist Women out of Austin, Texas. And those ladies put on a wonderful show, and they're dressed like old Baptist women.
Oh, incredible.
It's amazing. Incredible. And then they're out there dancing like they do, like these young kids, you know. I mean, they're out there and get these steps going, and you wonder how do they do it.
And how long have you been involved with the rodeo?
Oh, most of my life. I was involved in the rodeo with South Texas where I lived. And now I've been involved with the Gay Rodeo Association probably for the last 16 years.
And it must take up a lot of your free time as well.
It does. I take my 4 or 5 day trip. I've done 6 rodeos this past year.
So if someone's listening in the UK right now and they want to check out more about the Gay Rodeo or they want to come to Denver, what's your top reasons for visiting?
Oh, I think the top reasons for visiting, yeah, come. See the rodeo. If you've never seen the rodeo, do it. Like I said, Denver's vibrant. It's a destination area that's so active, from performing arts to everything, from the breweries to, I mean, it's just vibrant. I mean, it's got a lot to offer. And you're right here at the mountain.
I'm joined by Jenna. Oh my God, where are we?
We are in Red Rocks Park and Amphitheater, at the very top of the amphitheater today.
I'm looking down to the stage, and it's a 9,000 capacity, isn't
it? Just a little over 9,000, yeah.
It's absolutely stunning, and I can't get my head around is the fact that this is completely naturally formed, isn't it?
The most perfectly naturally formed amphitheater in North America, yeah.
Because we're between two massive, are they rocks, are they boulders? How would we describe those?
Red Rocks.
Red Rocks, yeah, of course, we're at the Red Rocks Amphitheater, so that would make sense, wouldn't it?
So we're in between Chiprock and Creation Rock. And nothing has been touched except the building of the stadium and the stage. So everything else is naturally formed and hasn't been touched since we started using this as a city venue for concerts.
So how long has this been an entertainment venue?
So the Visitor Center was redone in 2001. It took a couple years to reconstruct, and it opened back up in 2003. They have a little Hall of Fame down there with all the history of Red Rocks, everybody that's played, some memorabilia. So it's definitely, don't miss that. That's a great thing to check out.
And obviously, you're a local, so how often do you get the chance to come up here and check out some artists?
I wish it was every week, but I probably come out for a concert about 4 times a year, and then they also have programming where they show movies on the rocks, which is super fun. So I probably make it to those about once or twice a year, but I could come every day, and I wouldn't get tired of the view.
Because it's not just music, there's other things as well.
Yoga, bar, run the rocks, concerts, exercise programming, and those movies on the rocks, which are great.
So if someone's listening to this right now and thinking, oh, do you know what? I'm not entirely sure. Why should they come to Denver? Why should they come and check this out?
Denver is so full of urban adventures and outdoor just experiences that you can't get anywhere else. Where else in the world can you be in the middle of a city center and 25, 30 minutes later, you're in between two monolith red rocks watching one of the best bands on the nation?
I'm sold. And hopefully we're going to go down and stand on the stage and be where the likes of U2 and Depeche Mode have performed. I'm so excited for this. Phil, I need a moment.
I know, I'm a bit out of breath as well, but I'm also a bit goosebumpy. We're actually just standing on the stage that all these big bands like Depeche Mode and artists like Stevie Nicks and Sting have played.
I can't get over this.
Can you imagine how they must feel looking out into a crowd of 9,500 people?
It's just awesome. The most beautiful surroundings as well.
I think immense is probably a good word to describe this experience.
Immense,
it just
perfect.
Feels surreal, doesn't it? It's out this world.
It's almost like there was supposed to be a music venue, a concert venue here.
And this is also on so many artists' bucket lists, mm-hmm. as you would imagine. I mean, all these bigger venues that you know, host, you know, more than 9,500 people, it's not necessarily the best place you want to be. You want to be here because it's just visual.
It's so incredible. It's so incredible. You need to check out all of these pictures online right now. Facebook.com/Gaydio. Check out all of our socials on Instagram and Twitter as well. Is there a naked guy running down the steps?
Well spotted.
I'm just looking around and all this beauty and all this natural. And there's a topless guy running down the steps onto the stage.
He's actually moving down really quickly as well. I was just doing that and I was trying to dodge all the ice.
He's actually quite nice. Yeah. Let's go and have a chat with him, shall we?
We're in Denver, and we are with the CEO of the Centre, and that is Deb Pollock. Good to see you, Deb.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Can we just ask you about your job, your role, and the Centre as well? Because I believe it's the third oldest community centre in the US, is that right?
It is, it is. So I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the LGBT Community Centre of Colorado. We serve five generations of people. We have programs for young parents, young LGBT parents with small children. We have a drop-in center for youth called Rainbow Alley, and we serve youth 11 to 22 when they age out. Then we have a center, an actual place, physical location where you can come. There's a lending library and a cyber center. We also have transgender programs, mainly peer support. We have a legal program. In 1992, there was a voter initiative passed that would have changed the Constitution of Colorado to never provide equal rights for gay and lesbian people. So there was a huge movement to repeal that, and luckily that was repealed in 1997 at the Supreme Court of the United States. It's a case called Romer versus Evans, and that's the basis for all of the law and all of the progress that we've been able to gain in the last 20 years.
Because you personally have been involved with the organization, was it 14 years that you've been involved?
Yes. Well, I started with the center, as you said, 14 years ago, and as a fundraiser. So I was their fundraiser for 10 years before I became the CEO. And for me, I have to have a passion for what I'm raising money for to be able to be effective at that. And I came out in San Francisco in the early 80s. Yeah. And I came out just about the time AIDS did, and watched all of my beautiful new young friends die. And realized that if we don't advocate for ourselves, nobody else is going to. And we're seeing that again. You know, we experienced some great momentum with President Obama, and now with 45, that has certainly not been the case. It's been exactly the opposite. We've seen a big uptick and things we don't like to see in our community. You know, people being ostracized, being marginalized. The silver lining here is that corporations have really not rolled back the clock. They have stepped up to the plate. They're providing opportunities for people. We also have a consulting program as one of our programs called Range Consulting, where we'll go into businesses, governmental agencies, and we'll help them learn how to attract and retain LGBT talent. So for example, we got a call from an oil and gas company who had an engineer who wanted to transition on the job, and they didn't want to mess it up. So they called us, and we went in and worked with their HR department, with the person's work team, and the person transitioning, so that they could have a peaceful and successful transition on the job.
That's when you realize what you're doing is an important job.
It is.
And the center produces the flagship event, which is the signature event, isn't it, for Denver?
It's
the Pride Fest event.
Denver
Can you
Pride
tell us
Fest.
About that?
Absolutely. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And I do hope you'll come back.
Oh, we've been told by so many people we need to be back in June for this.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah.
So it's a two-day outdoor festival. It attracts, I think last year we had 385,000 people.
Wow.
We're really the major festival in this part of the country. So a lot of people, it's a destination. A lot of people come from surrounding states where they don't have community, accessible community. We're probably, let's see, Chicago has a big pride. You know, New York and San Francisco are enormous. So our pride is, it's big enough, but not too big. So we have a Pride 5K. It starts off on Saturday morning. And then we have a family-friendly area where you can come with your kids and do all kinds of fun activities. The Museum of Nature and Science did an archaeological dig with the little kids. That was really fun. We have a youth area, which is a drug and alcohol-free space for the youth, and they have their own stage, so they do drag performances for each other, right?
Amazing.
Yes.
I know.
And then we have three other stages. We have center stage, where our main entertainment performs, and then we have a Latino stage. We have a huge Latino population here in the area, and we have all kinds of fun performers come from around the country to perform there.
It
last
sounds
year,
fabulous.
It
I mean,
is.
Obviously, it's very celebratory, but you must be quite emotional when you're seeing people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, attending Pride
Fest.
You
know, it's the one day a year, a couple days a year, where you're like, oh, these are my people.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
And they're all here. They came to the party.
Yeah.
And then we have a DJ stage, which is really fun. We have DJs from local DJs and DJs from around the country who come too. And then we do have a political rally, and we have a massive parade. And then there's a week of activities leading up to Pride Fest. So the Friday, I think it's Friday or Saturday before, we're having a trash fashion show this year. So everything will be made from found or recycled materials. So we have a lot of amazing designers who have signed on to create some wonderful, fun things. So that's a new addition to the week of festivities.
Thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. If people want to find out more about what you guys do, where can they head to?
Our website is glbtcolorado.org.
And we're slap bang in the middle of where they host so many fabulous music festivals. Gay Pride Festival in the summer. If you come here in June. Already, obviously, because we're in the middle of winter, I'm seeing, I don't know about you, you spotted loads of people kind of working out and doing sit-ups and jogging.
It's
quite inferior.
And the snow as well. Just have to say that when we were in Aspen, we didn't have very much snow at all. And then we left Aspen and we brought the snow back to Denver. Our tour guide, the lovely Jenna, was like, yeah, we've had no snow for ages. You guys turn up and suddenly it's like a winter Wonderland.
It's the best time to come.
Oh, yeah.
But she was saying you need to come in the summer too, because there's so much to see and do here.
Yeah, absolutely. So as Phil said, we're right bang kind of in the middle of Denver at the moment. We're at the Civic Center Park. And it's a year-round place to come for music festivals, for food as well. We're learning actually that Denver is a brilliant location. If, like me and Phil, you're a bit of a foodie, it's a great place to come. And as you touched upon as well, June is definitely a great time to come because Pride happens here. Because Jenna, bless her, she's never been to the UK. So
I know.
We're trying to explain to her what Pride was like in Britain. We were saying, obviously, Pride in London, it's all about the parade. And then if you talk to her about the likes of Manchester as well, huge celebration on the August bank holiday weekend. It sounds as though Pride in Denver is very similar. There's a huge parade that goes right through the city centre, and then lots of parties at the clubs and at the bars.
Absolutely,
in the
massive party spirit, which is how it should be.
Yeah,
when you think about it.
Absolutely. And if you're thinking about coming to Denver as well, and if you're thinking about going to a gay bar, I mean, obviously, you have to come to a gay bar if you're going to come to Denver. I like the fact that we've taken over Capitol Hill. It's like, okay, what point are we going to have? We're going to have Capitol Hill, darling.
Nothing else you need to mention there. Says it all.
Absolutely. I'm just loving the spirit of this city as well. Everyone is so friendly, so lovely.
It's a good vibe. It's positive.
Yeah.
It's spirited.
Yeah.
It's sunny. I mean, it is sunny.
It is sunny. It's really, really nice. I think it's a good location to come all year round.
Oh, I tell you, Matt, it's a very hard life.
It really is, isn't it?
I mean, we sat here at the Blue Moon Brewery. Now, I didn't know anything about Blue Moon until I shacked up with the other half, and he is obsessed with Blue Moon. So he's going to be really gelled that we're here right now.
So we're on the Denver Beer Trail. We've been to a couple of breweries already, and I'm really looking forward to trying this one in particular. We've got two that have been given to us. I've got an orange in mine.
Yeah, what's that about?
I hope it's not going to be like one of my five a day with my beer, because that's not okay.
That's perfectly fine, because now, you know, you don't need to like justify going out for a drink. You're getting your five a day.
So, right.
Yeah, so you taste that.
I'm going to taste this. This is one of the Belgian whites. This is one of the ones that is very popular around the world. It's their flagship beer. Jenna's feeding me all this information as she sat next to me. She's like, make sure you say flagship. So, Jenna, why do they put the orange in these?
It has some Valencia orange peel in it, so they just adorn it with a little orange slice on top every time.
Adorable. Right, I'm going to give this a go. I'm really looking forward to this because I've heard
Let me hold that.
Thank you, dear.
There we go.
Right, there we go. Right.
Get it down, yeah.
Hang on.
More.
Oh, that's nice. That's really smooth.
Yeah?
That's really, really nice. That goes down the throat very well. Very much enjoyable.
I'm not touching that. No.
So what have you got?
It's a chocolate thing. A chocolate cocoa thing. I actually don't know the technical term.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Get it down.
I hear chocolate and I thought, yeah, all right. So
he's tasting it, he's tasting it.
It's like dessert beer.
Dessert beer?
Yeah, it's like beer for dessert.
Oh, that's nice.
And I'm totally there for that.
Do you mind? Can I have a go? This is quite a dark one, because the one that I've got is what I would say is kind of like a normal coloured style.
And you like it dark, don't you?
Is what I would say is a normal coloured style beer. Stop it. Right, I'm going to try this one. So this one's the cocoa. Okay, hang on. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like a cold hot chocolate.
but with alcohol. So everyone's a winner.
So a cold chocolate, you mean?
A cold chocolate. I just want to confirm I've only had two or three of these, all right? So if you're coming to Denver, the Denver Beer Trail is an absolute must. There's so many different breweries that you can check out as well. If you're coming as well, get on one of these brewery tours as well, because there's so many you can choose from. You can choose from the Mile High Tap Tours. You can also choose from the Micro Beer Tour. There's so many different ones that you need to check out and choose from, because it really is one of the essential things to do if you're coming to the city. This is going to be one of my favorite moments of the week. Tristan is back with us. Yeah. He is the marketing manager of Ratio.
Yeah.
And you're being very kind to us. You've brought us some beer
Thank you for coming in. We really appreciate it.
So I'm really looking forward to this. So which beer is this?
So this is our Dear You French Saison. This is what I was talking about. I think this classically represents who we are as a brewery, because our approach generally is taking traditional styles, giving it a little bit of a modern twist to it. And so this beer is a Saison base. We use a French Saison yeast strain, which gives it a dry, kind of champagne-y finish to it. And then we also dry hop it with Citra hops, which gives it a naturally occurring citrus-forward flavor. And so take a drink. It's very easy drinking. It's a sessionable beer, not too heavy on the alcohol.
Nice.
And it's kind of got that fancy, dry, champagne-y feel to it. That, you know, can convert the traditional wine drinkers to beer.
Okay, Iggy Azalea, you're fancy, you try first.
Well, I should say, actually, I'm usually a whiskey drinker, so this is new for me. So
yeah, absolutely.
And I'm also Gadio's resident alcoholic, so.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
So you're non-discriminatory for
absolutely
drinks.
Not,
yeah,
no.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, bottoms up.
So what do you think? How does that taste?
Yeah.
Yeah? Can you hear the champagne coming through?
Something's coming through, yeah. That's really nice, really refreshing.
Yeah, it's very
really,
refreshing.
Yeah.
You know, we like to say it's fancy enough to be dressed up in a tux, but it's easy drinking enough to be enjoyed on an everyday occasion to celebrate everyday life.
Nice.
Go on.
And I can taste that champagne coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little more effervescent, bubblier.
I got some more.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Effervescent. That's the word I was looking for. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That's really nice, because I am a bit of an ale and a bit of a beer drinker, and I've certainly not had anything like that in the UK before.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my God, I'm just going to down this. Sorry.
Not the first time she said that this trip, that's all I'm saying.
And we've got something else to try as well.
Yeah, so this is our Genius Wizard Bourbon Barrel Aged Imperial Stout. This is definitely going to be a bigger beast of a beer. You know, it weighs in at about, 12%. So,
oh, wow.
We take our base Imperial Stout, aged in bourbon barrels for 12 months, soaks up a lot of that vanilla, kind of caramel, oaky notes to it, and then it gives it a really nice, roasty, chocolatey profile. You know, this is perfect for the winter months. Warm your bones right up.
Right, here
cool.
we
give
go.
Give it a go. Give it a go.
Oh, right, here we go. Bottoms up.
Yeah.
Ooh. Mm. Ooh, I really like that.
Yeah, you get a little bit of a molasses flavor too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Craig, you have to try this. Give this a go. I think you'll really like this, actually. Really? Okay. Yeah. It's really nice.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're a whiskey drinker, this is right up your alley.
Look at him trying to be posh and smell it before he downs it. Hey?
How refined.
Who knew? Yeah. Who knew? Okay.
Really hope that gives you an idea of how incredible Denver is. It really is a city of arts and culture. It's got a great beer trail. Foodies, if you love your food as well, it's perfect. And of course, the LGBT plus scene is just vibrant. It's definitely worth checking out. Don't forget, you can get flights direct out of London Gatwick, all thanks to Norwegian Airlines. Prices start at £179 one way. And get booking. Check out all the details online right now at visitdenver.com. Or alternatively, check out our travel pages online at gaydio.co.uk.
We are
Gaydio.